Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday morning fellowship with the Fisherman Ministry in South Carolina. Let's worship the Lord.
Exalted one.
This is Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to hear, and grace my fear. Precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed.
Though we've been there.
Though we've been there 10,000 years. Bright shine.
Praise Adonai. It's page 91 in your books. Might actually be worth pulling it up because it's one that we haven't done too awful much.
Who is like him? The lion and the lamb seated on the throne. Mountains bow down. Every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints sing praise. Who is like him? The lion and the lamb seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints sing praise. Thank you. mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
No. So I got up this morning, which, you know, getting up for me is never good. I don't wake up and go like, oh, yay, it's a new day. It's always, oh my gosh, it's another day. So, you know, I dropped my size 13s on the floor and, let the day begin. So, but it actually didn't. Like in that song, "Be bold, be strong." You know, there's admonitions in the Bible, and in the Bible, and the Lord would say things to people like, you know, be bold, you know, be of good courage. In English, there's this thing called the understood subject. For those of you who study English grammar, the understood subject would be if I said, "Turn the light on." It's understood. It's you turn the light on. That's the understood subject. You. So. If the Lord says, be strong and be of good courage, you be strong, you be of good courage, you make the decision. And what's behind that is the promise and the presence of the Lord himself, you know, and something as simple as just getting out of bed and starting a very beautiful Sunday morning. I don't have to go to work. I don't mean, you know, today is, I'm 55 today, which is pretty cool. It's doubly cool because it's 20 years since I rolled my truck. I was 34 when that happened, actually, but, you know, New Year's Day was 20 years, and so every minute after New Year's Day of 34, I wasn't supposed to be here, and life itself is a blessing. But you've got all these promises, you know, be bold, be strong, I'm with you. It's not like you can do it, but he said, you can do all things, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Of myself, I can do nothing, but if I abide in the vine bears me, right? So I got up and, you know, went outside, huffed my first camel. That's how the day starts. And I have this garden going, which I love. And, it's my normal track. I'll get up and I walk through that garden daily. And there again, there's an admonition in Proverbs, you know the state of your flocks and herds. And I've been really encouraged because I have a very poor track record of gardening, and which actually has been observed here, having watched multiple failures since I've just been living on this lot. This year, I just started simply walking that garden every day, and I am aware of the state of those plants, not flocks and herds, but I'm aware of the state of the plants. So I got out this morning, and I walked out, and I looked, you know, the fruit trees look good. And I'm going to back up on that because Gail Stevens came down, was it not this past summer, it was a couple of summers? Was it this past summer? I'm sitting on the porch with Gail, and I had planted 15 fruit trees. Now, when I bought them, I dropped like, I think I bought fencing. I walked down there, and I handed Mac like $1,000 in cash. So Mac, he loves me. And I bought those trees at that point, and he told one of those young bucks working down there, he said, well, he's getting a lot of stuff, and you've got some of those trees out there that are a little spindly. Just throw them in the truck. He said, you know, if you want them. I said, sure. So I planted 15 trees, about a third of which were, I mean, they were healthy, but they were not, you know, like top flight, but they were free, so that worked. And sure enough, out of my 10 trees, about five of them I thought were dead. And I mentioned to Gail, I said, I'm just going to go dig them out. I'm just tired of mowing around them. And Gail, who actually is pretty smart in a lot of ways, but she said, you know, there's this thing that happens with trees where they can look pretty rough. She said, why don't you give it another year? I was like, man. And I was thinking about that parable, you know, where the guy's going to go out and dig the vine out and, you know, why cumber it to the ground? And the master gardener says, well, it should be digged and dunged about. Now, you understand what dung is. So if your life doesn't look too good and things aren't going so good, maybe you need to be digged and dunged about. And if you know, yeah, you can kind of see where that goes. But I did. I waited a year. And sure enough, this year, I believe three of those five trees were alive. Not, I mean, to my eye, they didn't look alive, but I can understand new growth when I touch it. So five of those free trees, three of them made it. I thought, that's pretty cool. And then this morning, you see the parallel? You see where this is going? Y'all are smart. So I go out in my garden, and I planted three eggplants in pots, which is pretty desirable because the soil here is overly compacted and clay-based, not right for an eggplant. I mean, I didn't know that, but what I didn't realize was that at 55 degrees, an eggplant just don't like it. And I victimized my plants. We had a cool spring, and I wasn't bringing them in, so I would go out and look at them. They looked bad. I got no pests. So I had pulled off dead leaves, right? And isn't that what the Lord does with us? This is, if you bear fruit, he'll prune you that you can bear more fruit. So I had done that, and I'm looking at it, and if you got stuff in pots, it dries out relatively quickly. There's no ground to hold water. So I'll water them. What's the water? You know, the water of the Word, the washing of the water of the Word, or in Revelation, the river of the water of life. And we need that Word poured on us, and we get, the Lord sends in somebody to prune us and pull that dead stuff off. And it might be somebody like, you know, Philip. It might be each other, you know, in a given instance. Out on a kickball field going, lady, your kid ain't doing right or something. You get that little pruning, you know, maybe we don't like that so much sometimes. But it's a good thing. It's good for that plant, you know, that vine, that branch of the vine that we are. So kind of on the last part of this, if you have a plant, you have to have the right, you avoid a lot of problems if you have the right soil, you have the right water, you have the right amount of sun, and maybe if you've done a little research to know, you know, what to look for, and you can, if you see this stuff happening when it's just beginning, like my corn started to yellow, well, I know corn has a tremendous nitrogen uptake, so I saw it turn yellow the day it started turning yellow, I understood that. The next day, I got the nitrogen I needed, and then yesterday, I side-dress my rose, so it's got what it needs. And that stuff is not going to be overly stressed. And I would know, if the Lord blesses, continues to bless, I would say I'm going to get a good yield, right? 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And you can see that if we're in the right situation, right, you're in the Church of Philadelphia, if you choose to be, and if we'll receive the correction around us, which is going to be, you know, pleasant, sometimes maybe not what we want to hear, but you get that dead stuff pulled off, and then the right good stuff that we want, that can thrive. That can thrive. That's really what I got today. I just started out like, oh my gosh, it's my birthday. I feel like, bah! And walked out in the garden. The Lord just started talking to me right there in the, more or less, in my front yard. So praise the Lord. And now we're going to do a very short song. This is Rejoice in the Lord. It's going to take me just a moment to program the keyboard. And you are not going to need a book for this one. But I would like to do this in a round. I want to do this in a round. So the ladies follow Lisa as we get going. And the guys, if you would, follow me.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, 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 and again I say rejoice.
Good morning, everybody. What am I going to do with you, Brad? Tell you what. I'm teasing it. He went to go listen with Paul. I was looking forward to hearing James as well. But look, praise the Lord. I mean, I was teasing. I was going, man, what am I? Lord, look what you gave me to work with. I mean, come on. And people look at me. Then I look in the mirror. Man, you got a lot to work with there, Lord. You ain't got much to work with or a lot to work with. Either depends how you're looking at it. But it's all about Him. Praise God. Praise God. And again, praise God. Okay, because, man, we some screwed up people, man. We some screwed up people. Not just people, no, screwed up people. But the Lord's good and it's all about Him. And that's the thing that just we need to hold in the forefront of our mind. Which I lose sight of, I tell you. And I lose sight of that. And when I lose sight of that, things can go pretty wonky for me. Pretty wonky quickly. But one of the things, it's such a relief, the gift that we have. Such a relief, the gift that we have in Him. I mean, it really, really is. And, you know, no matter what situation you're in, and no matter what complication you might find yourself, whether it be of your own doing, okay, or just things kind of unfolding and kind of coming off the wheels around you. It, you know, I look at that as it really doesn't matter. There is a place, don't hear me wrong, to recognize and to turn and to repent and recognize your error in your way if it is one that is caused by your own doing. And I don't want to negate that that's not an important element, because that is. And that repenting is, as we talked about, a changing of mind. Okay, and you actually turn around 180 degrees. Not just change course, but you actually turn around. But I don't have much that I guess I want to talk about this morning. Other than there's a lot going on to me, going on with me and around me, and I know in others as well, But he is well able. All right, and one of the things is that we can trust the Lord for all of it. I mean, if we would yet just turn to him and trust him for all of it. Okay, because the things that we see in the carnal, I mean, they look like very, very, very impossible situations. And I know for me, I mean, I look at, and more here lately than ever, and you know, it seems to always be the case, more here lately than ever, because it's just more things that happen that seem just freaking impossible, man. I mean, they just seem impossible. But time and time and time again, he's revealed abundantly above I can ask or think. And the things that might be going around me and the things that are going around me are actually upside down, get turned right side up, and actually the things actually get you in a steered direction in a right manner. I don't know if that makes any sense. But the situations that happen around you, you're looking at and you're going, oh my goodness, I mean, it's a lot. I don't see this is a lot. I don't see how this is going to be of any use, any good use at all. I don't see how this is a good direction. And I don't see how this is going to really play out to the benefit of anything good. And time again, as it's been shown and been revealed to me, it is those things that seem that way actually put in a direction that the Lord is well able to move in a direction that is beneficial to others, and it glorifies him. I mean, time and time again, I've seen that thing that is an absolute struggle, that thing that is right there before you, that is just, it seems impossible, is actually a thing that directed a right, is the thing that caused a turnaround in a right direction in the Lord. And as ugly and as uncomfortable it might have been at that time, it was absolutely an awesome thing where the Lord took that messed up situation and flipped it on its head, where he got the glory. And so no matter what's going on around me, I know that that is something I can count on, is him. And that yet I can turn to him. And yet no matter how messed up the situation, or how bad I messed up, how bad I screwed up in the midst of the thing, he is well able. And I thought about a scripture this morning, and I looked it up because It's in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And I don't know if I want to start at 9 or go up above there a little bit, but I think I might actually start at 7. Because Paul starts to talk about how the Lord revealed things to him, and you know, I'm going to start reading. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, and simply Paul, what Paul's talking about in this sense is with the revelations and the things that he got directly from Jesus Christ, rather he gets just exalted, so puffed up that, man, even the Lord himself couldn't talk to him about things because he just knew so much and he was so important, and he'd just be to the place where the ministering would not be that great. there'd probably be better words if somebody else was preaching this, it'd be a little bit clearer, but praise God. But there was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. There was a thorn in his flesh. Now this was a messenger of Satan. This was not an angel of God. This wasn't the Lord doing this by any means. That's not what the case was. That was not it. So let's not get that mistaken here. I mean, and that's the other thing that the enemy really likes to do is, like, he will go in there and he comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And when he goes and he's using those devices against you because you are in Jesus and he doesn't want to see you go forward in him at all. I mean, he really doesn't. I mean, he has a vehement desire to kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, that is his main goal. And what he wants you to do, he wants you to look at the Lord and blame him for what he's doing, for what the enemy's doing. That's what Satan wants to do. But it's not him. It is not the Lord that's doing that. No, it is the enemy. Okay? That's who's doing it. All right, so we need to get that really, like, underlined right then and there, because he's a deceiver, man. I mean, what was it that he said in the garden? I'm kind of might go me going off track here a little bit, but what is it that he said in the garden? You know, he's sitting there, he's deceiving Eve there. He said, okay, you can be God like him. You know, he's sitting there and putting that evil motive on the Lord, you know. Eat, look at the fruit. I mean, you take it all the way back there. I mean, that's just, he hasn't changed. Same thing he's doing years ago, he's doing now. But the Lord's bigger than all that. And that's what we got to remember. I mean, the Lord conquered. He is victorious. And he takes those things that the enemy does to come to kill, steal, and destroy you, and he flips it on Satan's head. Bow! And he gets the glory. He gets the victory. And you become victorious in him if you allow it. Lest I should be exalted above measures. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Will I rather glory in my infirmities? And that infirmities, as we learned, I think, last conference, was there interpreted in weaknesses. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, in that place, that Paul was very uncomfortable. I don't know what Paul was going through right there, but the messenger of Satan there to come buffet him, it's not something I want. I'm telling you right now. I'm sure that was very uncomfortable for Paul. I'm sure it was. And he besought the Lord, and the Lord showed him something out of this thing. Well, praise be to God. Here we go. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It's in that place where Paul recognizes where he is weak by nature, and all the things that are an ailment to him is where Christ, he can, where Christ will reign in power in him. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul comes out of that thing learning to trust sufficiently and wholly on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the grace of Jesus Christ. And that he, and it was only for, and the thing that the enemy was doing was actually for Paul's benefit. So he doesn't get exalted above measure. All right, so I don't care. And when I wanted to use that scripture, and maybe I'm using out of context, I don't know, God have mercy upon me. But one of the things is that I know is that the Lord reigns. All right, the Lord reigns, and he's bigger than the enemy. He's bigger than the situation at hand. He's bigger than it all. Than it all. And when I look at glorying at my in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, I most gladly do, because it is not by my own strength. It's not by my own strength that I did anything to become victorious. No, it was about him and what he has done. And if you look in the past of just all the examples that we have, David, Abraham, David especially. I mean, when he operated and he won and he became victorious in those things, no, he operated under obedience unto the Lord, and it was not by his strength that he won. It was by his strength. See, it wasn't by my strength that anything good happened to me. No, it was plainly and clearly by his strength. In fact, when you saw me in the midst of the situations, I was like going, oh my goodness, this is terrible. I don't know what to do. Lord, please help me. And what happened was, things turned out great. Above that, I can ask or think. And it wasn't a great, I mean, it wasn't like, I did this by my own strength. And it was very, very evident that that was the case. And all I could say is praise be to God. Praise be to him. I mean, when Hope and I were married with no home, well, we had a home. We were staying at Rick and Sue's place at that time. And right before all that, I didn't even freaking have a job. And all those things, I can just remember. I mean, it wasn't like, oh man, Phil's got his stuff together. No, Phil did not have his stuff together. He was doing things so backwards. There's a word before that I really wanted to use, but he was doing things so backwards, it wasn't even funny. But yet, y'all seen what the Lord did. Y'all were there to witness what the Lord did at that time. I mean, abundantly above, I can ask or think, a brand new home, 3-bedroom, 2-baths. Oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it. On the property with my stepfather and my grandmother. I mean, it was awesome to see this come about. And I'm not a bright guy. I didn't have these things figured out. I didn't have some plan that I came up with that was just, man, that's an awesome plan. Good thing you made that, Phil. Or, man, that thing wouldn't have worked out that way. No. No. No, that wasn't it. No. The only thing that we did was turn to Jesus Christ. I got a Skype here. All I did was turn to Jesus Christ. And it was very evident that I didn't have a clue. I mean, it was very, very evident that that was the case. But I turned to Him and He done abundantly above I can ask or think. And I want to see the Skype. I know Davey typed in, he wasn't talking about sickness there. And he wasn't. And I hope I didn't say that. I must have. Gosh, where is it? Yeah, Phil, Paul wasn't talking about sickness. He was talking about sin, is what he said. But it's in that place, like, it just amazes me, the grace of the Lord. And time again, where things have just, we have just messed things up. And that situation that I was in with Hope, that was my doing. You know, I put myself in that situation. Okay, the Lord didn't put me in that situation. I couldn't even blame the enemy for putting me in that situation. I put myself in that situation. And He reigned mightily. Okay, so I don't care what situations around you, what you're facing, or how backwards it might seem. He is good, and you can yet turn to Him. Okay, because it wasn't my plan that took care of me. No, it was His plan. Okay, and we are invited to that plan that He has. And He has one single plan, and we can get on it. But no matter how grim or how down this situation may seem, or how much it looks like absolute failure, He is well able to overcome all those things. All those things. Now the victory might not look like victory to you. I mean, when Jesus died on the cross, was that victory? It was victory. Did it look like victory to the 12 disciples or the 11? No, it didn't look like victory one bit. No, it looked like, I mean, those guys, man, it was like they thought they saw this, the sun going down for the last time and it wasn't coming back up. I mean, it just absolutely took the wind out of these guys. They thought this was all over. But no, they became a part of His body and they walked in that boldness and they went and ministered Jesus in power. And there was great victory throughout. Read Acts, you can see it. So we need to stop looking with that carnal mind and see nothing but failure, failure, failure. And it's something I need to change my mind about. Quit living under that circumstance. Quit looking at the situation as doomsday. Okay? And start looking at it with His mind and His eyes. Because it was victorious when He took the sin of the world and took it upon Himself, and He took it down, and He took it and paid the price for us. That was victory. And He came back and He reigned in resurrection. And you've seen that victory happen. Right? Not only did you see it back in Acts, you also saw it in each of y'all's personal lives. that victory in action. And so, as we look today at some situations that might be too, that looks like doomsday to us, we need to remember, He's bigger, He's stronger, and He won the battle. And we can trust Him for that. And it doesn't look, it might not look like victory. Who cares? Look past that. And look unto Him and what He has done. That's my only hope, man. Because right now, if I was looking at it any other way, I would give up. I would not be here this morning. If I looked at it any other way, I would not be here right now. But I know God is bigger. And we guys, we need to grab a hold of that. In Him is light and there is no darkness at all. He reigns. Okay? He reigns. He is an awesome, awesome God. And let's get on His plan. Let's not be about our own. That's where we get in those messes anyways, isn't it? But if you did mess up and screw up, God's bigger than that. What does it say in John? We have what? An advocate with the Father. Dear children, I prefer you not to sin. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And yet turn, yet repent, and yet trust solely on that. And the faith of Him gets instilled in you, and you learn to count on Him even more. That's why you can count it all joy when you fall in the divers temptations. He's given us victory, not defeat. He's given us victory, not defeat. Let's not yield ourselves to defeat. See, that's easy to do. It looks like what it is sometimes. Really, really does. Let's yield ourselves to Him, to that victory at hand. That's just right there. Right there. When has He showed us that He has not been victorious? Now, we might have thought it wasn't victorious. But when you came out of the other side, was it not victorious? Victorious every single time you turned unto Him. Every single time. Was it not that case in your life? Remember. Remember what He's done. I know I need to. I'm up here right now preaching to myself, folks. I'm preaching to myself right now, folks. I need a reminder of this. I'm just telling y'all about it too. The Lord's good. He's good. And He hasn't let a one of us down. We've let ourselves down. Others has let us down. He has not. We put our faith in so many other things. Those things let us down, but He has not. We need to remember that. Let's grab a hold on it with dear life. And let's put our hope and trust back in Him. He's well worthy of it. And He's reliable. He's trustworthy. He has reigned. I mean, the testimony of us has been quite pitiful, quite frankly, has it not? But it ain't about us, it's about Him. The testimony of Him has been outstanding. In spite of us, it's been outstanding. And see, that's what we rely on. He's faithful. We have not been so faithful, but He's been faithful. Even when we weren't. Even when we weren't. And that's what we can trust in. And we don't even have to get down about that we weren't. It just is what it is. And all we can say is praise God and be grateful. Our hearts should leap with joy that He's yet been faithful when we have not. And it's just another sign to those out there. It's just another testimony to tell others about Him and how good He is. Amen. So I rather glory in my infirmities. I rather tell people about my screwed up situations, the things that I've done, the things that were so upside down, and how screwed up I was. And how awesome He is and what He delivered me out of. I'd rather tell people all about that than any good freaking thing I think I have done. Because I ain't going to help them one bit. But them hanging on to Jesus and turning to Jesus Christ will. So don't be ashamed of the testimony of how you've been and how screwed up you were or what you have done. Don't be ashamed of that. In the sense of letting people know about how awesome He is and how He reigned and how He was victorious in the midst of it. Because that right there gives people hope, folks. It gives them the only true way out of the mess of this world and the curse of it. The only true way out of it. He's a good, loving Father. Amen.
Page 104 if you need it.
There is joy in the Lord. There is love in the Spirit. There's hope in the knowledge of Him. There's a fountain that flows like a river from heaven, abounding in love to my soul. Glory.
hope you all have a very fine Sunday afternoon. May the Lord bless us each and every one.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.